Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chapter number 79. The liberation of Bolvala and Lord Balaram's touring the sacred places. Trinadapi Sunichena Tarad Iva Sahishnuna Amanina Amanadena Kirtaniya Sada Hari Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Nama Eva Kivalam Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatir Anyata. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Balaram prepared himself to meet the demon Bolvala. At the time when the demon usually attacked the sacred place, there appeared a great hailstorm. The whole sky became covered with dust, and the atmosphere became surcharged with a filthy smell. Just after this, the mischievous demon Bolvala began to shower torrents of stool and urine and other impure substances on the arena of sacrifice. After this onslaught, the demon himself appeared with a great trident in his hand. He was a gigantic person, and his black body was like a huge mass of carbon. His hair, his beard, and his mustache appeared reddish like copper, and because of his great beard and mustache, his mouth appeared dangerous and fierce. As soon as he saw the demon, Lord Balaram prepared to attack him. He first considered how he could smash the great demon to pieces. Lord Balaram then called for his plow and club, and they immediately appeared before him. The demon Bolvala was flying in the sky, and at the first opportunity, Lord Balaram dragged him down with his plow and angrily smashed the demon's head with his club. Balaram's striking fractured the demon's forehead, making blood flow profusely. Screaming loudly, the demon, who had been such a great disturbance to the pious Brahmins, fell to the ground like a great mountain with a red oxide peak being struck and smashed to the ground by a thunderbolt. The inhabitants of Naimisharanya, learned sages and Brahmins, became most pleased by seeing this, and they offered their respectful prayers to Lord Balaram. They offered their heartfelt blessings to the Lord, and they all agreed that none of Lord Balaram's attempts to do something would ever be a failure. The sages and Brahmanas then performed a ceremonial bathing of Lord Balaram, just as demigods bathe King Indra when he is victorious over the demons. The Brahmanas and sages honored Lord Balaram by presenting him with first-class new clothing and ornaments and the lotus garland of victory. This garland was the reservoir of all beauty, and it was everlasting. It was never to be dried up. After this incident, Lord Balaram took permission from the Brahmins assembled at Naimisharanya, and accompanied by other Brahmins, went to the bank of the river Kaushiki. After taking his bath in this holy place, he proceeded toward the river Sarayu and visited the source of the river. Traveling on the bank of the Sarayu River, he gradually reached Prayag, where there is a confluence of three rivers, Ganges, Yamuna, and Sarasvati. He also took his bath, and he worshipped in the local temples of the demigods. As enjoined in the Vedic literature, he offered oblations to the forefathers and sages. Gradually he reached the ashram of the sage Pulaha, and from there went to the rivers Gandaki and Gomati. After he took his bath in the river Vipasha, then he gradually came to the bank of the Shona River. This Shona River is still running as one of the big rivers in Bihar province. He also took his bath there and performed the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. He continued his travels and gradually came to the pilgrimage city of Gaya, where there is the celebrated Vishnu temple. According to the advice of his father, Vasudeva, he offered oblations to the forefathers in this Vishnu temple. From here, he traveled to the delta of the Ganges, where the sacred river Ganges mixes with the Bay of Bengal. This sacred place is called Gangasagara, and at the end of January every year, there is still a great assembly of saintly persons and pious men, just as there is an assembly of saintly persons in Prayag every year called the Magh Mela Fair. After finishing his bathing and ritualistic ceremonies at Gangasagara, Lord Balaram proceeded toward the mountain known as Mahendra Parvat, where he met Parashuram, an incarnation of Lord Krishna, and offered him respect by bowing down before him. After this, Lord Balaram turned toward southern India and visited the banks of the river Godavari. After taking his bath in the river Godavari and performing the necessary ritualistic ceremonies, he gradually visited the other rivers, Vena, Pampa, and Bhimarati. On the bank of the river Bhimarati is the deity called Swami Kartikeya. After visiting Kartikeya, Lord Balaram gradually proceeded to Shailapura, a pilgrimage city in the province of Maharashtra. Shailapura is one of the biggest districts in Maharashtra province. Then he gradually proceeded toward Dravada Desha. Southern India is divided into five parts called Pancha Dravida. Northern India is also divided into five parts called Pancha Gauda. All the important acharyas of the modern age, namely Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, and Nimbarka, advented themselves in the Dravida provinces. Lord Chaitanya, however, appeared in Bengal, which is part of the five Gauda Deshas. The most important place of pilgrimage in southern India, or Dravida, is Venkatachala, commonly known as Balaji. After visiting this place, Lord Balaram proceeded toward Vishnukanchi, and from there he proceeded on the bank of the Kaveri. While going to Vishnukanchi, he visited Shivakanchi. Lord Balaram took his bath in the river Kaveri. Then he gradually reached Rangakshetra. The biggest Vishnu temple in the world is in Rangakshetra, and the Vishnu deity there is celebrated as Ranganath. There is a similar temple of Ranganath in Vrindavan, although not as big as the temple in Rangakshetra. It is the biggest in Vrindavan. After visiting Rangakshetra, Lord Balaram gradually proceeded toward Madurai, commonly known as the Mathura of southern India. After visiting this place, he gradually proceeded toward Setubandha, the place where Lord Ramachandra constructed the stone bridge from India to Lanka, or Ceylon. In this particular holy place, Lord Balaram distributed 10,000 cows to the local Brahmin priests. It is the Vedic custom that when a rich visitor goes to any place of pilgrimage, he gives the local priests houses, cows, ornaments, and garments as gifts of charity. This system of visiting places of pilgrimage and providing the local Brahmin priests with all necessities of life has greatly deteriorated in this age of Kali. The richer section of the population, because of its degradation in Vedic culture, is no longer attracted by these places of pilgrimage, and the Brahmin priests who depended on such visitors have also deteriorated in their professional duty of helping the visitors. These Brahmin priests in the places of pilgrimage are called Panda or Pandita. This means that they were formerly very learned Brahmins and used to guide the visitors in all details of the purpose of coming there. Thus, both the visitors and the priests benefited by mutual cooperation. It is clear from the description of Srimad Bhagavatam that when Lord Balarama was visiting the different places of pilgrimage, he properly followed the Vedic system. After distributing cows at Setubandha, Lord Balaram proceeded toward the Kritamala and Tamripani rivers. These two rivers are celebrated as sacred, and Lord Balaram bathed in them both. He then proceeded toward Malaya Hill. This hill is very great, and it is said to be one of seven peaks called the Malaya Hills. The great sage Agastya used to live there, and Lord Balaram visited him and offered his respects by bowing down before him. After taking the sage's blessings, Lord Balarama with the sage's permission, proceeded toward the Indian Ocean. At the point of the cape, known today as Cape Comorin, is a big temple of Goddess Durga, who is known there as Kanyakumari. The temple of Kanyakumari was also visited by Lord Ramachandra, and therefore it is to be understood that the temple has been existing for millions of years. From there, Lord Balaram went on to visit the pilgrimage city known as Falguna Tirtha, which is on the shore of the Indian Ocean, or the Southern Ocean. Falguna Tirtha is celebrated because Lord Vishnu, in his incarnation of Ananta, is lying there. From Falguna Tirtha, Lord Balaram went on to visit another pilgrimage spot known as Panchapsarsar. There also, he bathed according to the regulative principles and observed the ritualistic ceremonies. This site is also celebrated as a shrine of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Lord Balaram distributed 10,000 cows to the local Brahmin priests. From Cape Comorin, Lord Balaram turned toward Kerala. This country of Kerala is still existing in southern India under the name of South Kerala. After visiting this place, he came to Gokarna Tirtha, where Lord Shiva is constantly worshipped. Balaram then visited the temple of Aryadevi, which is completely surrounded by water. From that island, he went to a place known as Shurparaka. After this, he bathed in the rivers known as Tapi, Payoshni, and Nirvindya. And then he came to the forest known as Dandakaranya. This is the same Dandakaranya forest where Lord Ramachandra lived while in exile. Lord Balaram next came to the bank of the river Narmada, the biggest river in central India. On the bank of this sacred Narmada is a pilgrimage spot known as Mahishmati Puri. After bathing there, according to regulative principles, Lord Balaram returned to Prabhasa Tirtha, where he had begun his journey. When Lord Balaram returned to Prabhasa Tirtha, he heard from Brahmins that most of the Kshatriyas in the Battle of Kurukshetra had been killed. Balaram felt relieved to hear that the burden of the world had been reduced. Lord Krishna and Balaram appeared on this earth to lessen the burden of military strength created by the ambitious Kshatriya kings. That is the way of materialistic life. Not being satisfied by the absolute necessities of life, people ambitiously create extra demands, and their illegal desires are checked by the laws of nature or the laws of God, appearing as famine, war, pestilence, and similar catastrophes. Lord Balaram heard that although most of the Kshatriyas had been killed, the Kurus were still engaged in fighting. Therefore, he returned to the battlefield just on the very day Bhimasen and Duryodhana were engaged in a personal duel. As the well-wisher of both of them, Lord Balaram wanted to stop them, but they would not stop. When Lord Balaram appeared on the scene, King Yudhishthir and his younger brothers, Nakula and Sahadev, as well as Lord Krishna and Arjuna, he offered him immediately their respectful obeisances, but they did not speak at all. The reason they were silent was that Lord Balaram was somewhat affectionate toward Duryodhan, who had learned from Balaramaji the art of fighting with a club. When the fighting was going on, King Yudhishthir and others thought that Balaram might have come there to say something in favor of Duryodhana, and therefore they remained silent. Both Duryodhana and Bhimasen were very enthusiastic in fighting with clubs, and in the midst of a large audience, each very skillfully tried to strike the other. While attempting to do so, they appeared to be dancing. But nonetheless, it was clear that both of them were very angry. Lord Balaram, wanting to stop the fighting, said, "My dear King Duryodhana and Bhimasena, I know that both of you are great fighters and are well known in the world as great heroes. But still I think that Bhimasen is superior to Duryodhan in bodily strength. On the other hand, Duryodhana is superior in the art of fighting with a club. Taking this into consideration, my opinion is that neither of you is inferior to the other in fighting. Under the circumstances, there is very little chance that one of you will be defeated by the other. Therefore, I request you not to waste your time fighting in this way. I wish you to stop this unnecessary fight." The good instruction given by Lord Balaram to Bhimasena and Duryodhana was intended for the equal benefit of both of them. But they were so enwrapped in anger against each other that they could remember only their long-standing personal enmity. Each thought only of killing the other, and they did not give much importance to the instruction of Lord Balaram. Both of them then became like madmen in remembering the strong accusations and ill behavior they had exchanged with each other. Lord Balaram, being able to understand the destiny awaiting them, was not eager to go further in the matter. Therefore, instead of staying, he decided to return to the city of Dwaraka. When Balaram returned to Dwaraka, he was received with great jubilation by relatives and friends. Headed by King Ugrasena and other elder persons, who all came forward to welcome him. After this, he again went to the holy place of pilgrimage at Naimisharanya, and the sages, saintly persons, and Brahmins all stood up to receive him. They understood that Lord Balaram, although a Kshatriya, was now retired from the fighting business. The Brahmins and sages, who were always for peace and tranquility, were very much pleased at this. All of them embraced Balaram with great affection and induced him to perform various kinds of sacrifices in that sacred spot of Naimisharanya. Actually, Lord Balaram had no business performing the sacrifices recommended for ordinary human beings. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore Balaram himself is the enjoyer of all such sacrifices. As such, his exemplary action in performing sacrifices was only to give a lesson to the common man to show how one should abide by the injunctions of the Vedas. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Balaram, instructed the sages and saintly persons at Naimisharanya on the subject matter of the living entity's relationship with this cosmic manifestation. He instructed them how one should regard this whole universe and how one should relate with the cosmos in order to achieve the highest goal of perfection. The supreme goal is the understanding that the whole cosmic manifestation rests on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also all-pervading, even within the minutest atom, by the function of his Paramatma feature. Lord Balaram then took the Avabritha bath, which is taken after finishing sacrificial performances. After taking his bath, he dressed himself in new silken garments and decorated himself with beautiful jewelry. Amidst his relatives and friends, he appeared to be a shining full moon amidst the luminaries in the sky. Lord Balarama is the personality of Godhead, Ananta himself. Therefore, he is beyond the scope of understanding by mind, intelligence, or body. He descended exactly like a human being and behaved in that way for his own purposes. We can only explain his activities as the Lord's pastimes. No one can even estimate the extent of the unlimited demonstrations of his pastimes, because he is all-powerful. Lord Balaram is the original Vishnu. Therefore, anyone remembering these pastimes of Lord Balaram in the morning and evening will certainly become a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus his or her life will be successful in all respects. Anyone remembering these pastimes of Lord Balaram in the morning and evening will certainly become a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus one's life will be successful in all respects. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 79th chapter of Krishna, entitled Liberation of Bolvala and Lord Balaram's Touring the Sacred Places. About that, life is a box of rasgullas.